Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Many people know reality TV star Kim Kardashian. Her fame makes her an international celebrity with millions of followers on social media. She is also an influencer. That means she is paid to promote products and brands through her endorsements on her social media accounts. Kim Kardashian is only one of thousands who are used by marketers to promote products and services. It is estimated to be a $15 billion business. But influencers can play another role. They can have a significant effect on how people think and act. Some followers can identify so strongly with influencers, it can replace the role of family and friends. Influencers are not just celebrities, though. They exist in many places, including Northumberland County. While they do not boast millions of followers like celebrities, their impact can be felt locally. Over the past few weeks, the Freedom Convoy has gathered both momentum and support for its cause via social media. It also used social media to organize the protest as it crossed the country. Influencers played a key role. Natalie Levesque is a lecturer and researcher at Laval University. Her area of expertise is the role of influencers. She will explain the role of influencers on both a global and local scale. Hopefully, it will shed light on the phenomenon, helping us understand what is taking place in Ottawa and in Northumberland. I am thrilled to have with me today Natalie Levesque, a researcher and teacher at Laval University. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Let's start out with some basics. Okay. Who or what is an influencer and what do they do on social media?
There's a lot of definition about what is an influencer on social media, and there is no consensus on a literature review, but from my part, I do some research on it. And for me, a social media influencer, it's a person who are really active on social media, of course, and they make a personal branding of their them, and have a strong brand image that take the attention of the followers. But you have to know that there's a lot of type of influencer. We have like nano influencer who have less than 10,000 followers, and we have mega influencer who have more than a million. So they don't have the same mission. Some influencers are there just to make money and show a lot of brand without a real authenticity. Instead of smaller influencer like nano and micro influencer who doesn't want to make money. They want to share experience with their almost friend. And all their followers are really located in the same area around the influencer. So the thing is, the influencer can have a commercial mission or just want to share some idea with their followers.
Can you name some influencers that listeners might recognize?
Okay, as I am in Quebec, I know a lot of influencers in my in my province, but let's say mega influencer could be like celebrity, like Cristiano Ronaldo, like Tom Brady. It's a human brand, it's an athlete, and has a million of followers. Kim Kardashian, it's another great example of a superstar on Instagram. She makes a lot of money. She's a businesswoman, but she also a famous influencer. But as I told you just before, she's not have a lot of engagement rate, because that was the topic of my thesis. I developed a scale to measure the engagement between an influencer and a follower on social media. Okay. And I found that when you have a lot of followers, you have a really good reach, of course, but your engagement rate still really low, because you present so much a company and so much brand that people know, people know that you don't really try the brand, you just show the brand, and you are not the person who respond to the follower when they DM you. So that make this kind of influencer really not, they don't have expertise. They talk about everybody. So people follow them for the lifestyle, for the glamorous, for just to dream and seeing that, instead of really have intention to buy or to follow their idea, their minding. When we follow, let's say you follow, I am training in a kind of CrossFit gym, and the owner still have, it's a micro influencer. You have like under 20,000 followers. It's located in around Montreal, and he's talking about what he knows. What he knows, it's fitness, nutrition. He don't talk about a lot of other things that we know that there is not his expertise. So this guy have a really high engagement rate, because he target a specific topic, and we believe him. If he try to talk about scrapbooking or anything else, we were like, okay, that's funny, but I don't want to buy it. You know what I mean?
How has the pandemic then contributed to the impact of influencers?
A lot. The impact is incredible. I'm actually finishing the writing of a paper with other with co-author, and we made an interview and also an ethnography. So we screen all the account of a selected influencer who addressed the pandemic with their followers. So it was really interesting, because influencers say that the relation they had with their followers make them well-being really better. Okay, with the lockdown, we have almost not possibility to have some social contact, and this is really important for the well-being of everybody. So a lot of people have really, really the time to spend on social media. So influencer also, because they can go and do stories on restaurant, on travel. So this relation, we call it this relation when you get in the when you you see the picture of influencer and follower relationship, we talk about parasocial relationship, because it's the follower know everything about the influencer, right? Because they follow them like every day, but the influencer know nothing specifically about the followers. But in the lockdown, this relation, the influencer change a little bit their topic to address their mixed feeling about the pandemic, and they share a lot more with the followers, and this became more in a bi-directional relationship for the well-being of both influencer and also followers.
When you were describing this, it sounded to me a lot, if I was to draw a parallel to old technology, the celebrity endorser who would, you know, say, oh, buy the, you know, here, buy Wheaties, or, you know, buy this soup or whatever. That would be in a traditional marketing sense how these people work. Whereas it seems to me it's become something quite different than online. You've talked a lot about the relationships between the influencer and us as people. What is the relationship between ourselves and influencers when it comes to trust?
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a good question. I can show you a lot of statistics that will make you really struggle with that, especially for a young generation. They believe in their influencer almost like a member of their family. I don't remember. I think it's Google research, Google study in 2019, who say that young followers who really are really involved with a YouTuber believe that the YouTuber understand him better than their own friends. So that's major, and that's dangerous too, because like in everything there are good and there are bad. So we can translate this like there are good influencer and also bad one. So just to come back to the initial question, if you talk about the same subject and you getting an expertise, of course people will follow you for this reason and will be more, you will seem more trustful, and by the time you follow this influencer, all the audience, the community, will have also a conversation, like follower to follower, follower to influencer. This is in the case of a smaller influencer, of course. And this community became really, really important for the influencer, and also if he promote brands, because they came like an ambassador of their influencer and also the promoted brand, and share a positive word of mouth. And people trust, people are really more interesting to know about people who talk about brand then the information about this brand by the company or by an official media. So influencer in general are really more trustable than we say inanimate brand.
Now, when we're dealing with products or services, like you mentioned earlier, the guy that ran the gym, the CrossFit gym,
yeah,
to have that kind of influence, you know, helping people become healthy and fit seems innocuous. Or, you know, if I'm selling widgets or ice cream and I'm an influencer, mm-hmm. whatever. But this doesn't just extend to business and marketing. My understanding is it does extend into other aspects of social media and other aspects of our lives. Can you describe what other areas influencers work in that is outside of the business context? And what roles do they play?
Okay. If I take the same example, like the owner of a gym, the influencer, they are really involved with center for, I don't know what it is in English, but it's a center for young children. They don't have the opportunity to grow in a family, a regular family. They have some issues at school. They don't have a lot of money, etc. Okay, and with this influencer, he made a lot of event by itself to like for fundraising. So he used his voice to talk to the audience to sensitize the people about this center, and they because he is real when he talk, and we know that he really is really involved with the kids, and with the gym they fundraising like more than $2,100. Yeah, that's a lot. So this is not about fitness gym tips about it, but all the fund go for the kids for the for a sport activity for kids. So it's related, and people who follow this influencer of course like to train and are sensible about this situation, and they give money. They do that, they do the event like volunteer, and yeah, so this influencer really built a community.
Now that's a really positive example of how an influencer can work in a community, but there are other examples. For example, with the pandemic and misinformation. Mm-hmm. Also, I wondered too about the truck convoy that we just saw in this past weekend. What are some of the downsides to that, or the role of influencers in parsing out or passing out that type of information where its impact may not be seen by some as being as positive or as building community?
Mm-hmm. That's a good example because it's super accurate. Yes, I wrote a paper on the Tulum saga. Do you know the influencer from Quebec who go to Mexico and make a real party who don't respect rules and everything? This is an example of bad influencer.
So you're talking about the Sunwing flight that just happened not too long ago. Okay, go ahead, please.
Yeah. Okay. So, but the thing is, I decided to write this paper because it's my subject, but also because the media just spin on influencer. Of course, this is a shame. What they do is a shame. I don't endorse any of this situation, but we have to remember that in the airplane, you have probably 15 influencers over hundred of passenger, but media use the term influencer, and this is not good because, as we talked about earlier, there is a good influencer who talk about mental health, about just accepting your body and everything. So, yeah, parentheses. you want to know what I'm thinking about the truck situation? Mm-hmm. I think that was funny because I was talking with one of my kids during the weekend, and he told me, "Hey, mom, are they influencer?" I was like, "Yeah, they are kind of influencer, you know, because there's a lot of influencer, and not only on social media. I know that they found a lot. They did a GoFundMe, and they had like $6 million. People from USA give money, and I believe they have something to say that we have to listen. But unfortunately, a lot of other people, it's like when Montreal Canadian win the Stanley Cup, and every people was like just happy in Montreal downtown, but some people like troublemaker just join the event and make it like really bad, and this is not good for the notoriety and not for all the commercial. So the thing is, with the tracker, it's the same thing. I am super like proud of how Canadian are actually mobilizing all together, coast to coast. But yeah, they have also other person who, it's always the same thing. The bad person over 1,000 of people who dare for good reason make a lot of noise, and they ruin the image of, I think, the real situation that they want to address. I don't want to talk about it in detail, but you know, like complotists and every kind of this movement are actually joining the trucker. I don't know how you say that in English, but in French it's convoy. Convoy, okay. The trucker convoy. Yeah.
I wonder though, I mean, we can't underestimate this because, again, in some cases, misinformation is being communicated, inaccurate information is being communicated. And while all these influencers are competing on social media to garner our attention, that we want to believe them or we're going to believe them, and maybe we become, you know, sort of follower evangelists for these people and spread their ideas. I mean, there's a lot at stake when we talk about that. And I think that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you is we can't underestimate just how significant this is in terms of formulating people's worldview. And so while I appreciate, you know, we want to look at it and say, well, you know, it's good that people are mobilizing. It's good that people are sharing information. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful to see, as the cases you gave earlier, this gym owner doing great community work. I mean, we want to see those. But then on another level, we should be concerned, it sounds to me. What am I missing, or am I missing anything about what is really, I don't know how to ask this question. Can you explain how we need to look at these things in the context of this not always being something that is positive and good?
Wow. It's a really good and important question that every citizen, every consumer we have a job to do, right? We have a job to take the time to do our own research, just to be able to make a real choice, to have a vision that is not just you gob everything without making any analyze or that doesn't match your expectation. You just follow the trend. So we really have a work to do, and unfortunately, with a lot of information, especially with social media, like fake news, and they have, I don't know how many influencers, but every year, platform and agency, influencer agency, are going grow. For example, I think in 2015, they were in the USA, like 320 agency and platform to search influencer. And last year in 2021, they're like 103,000 of that in 5-6 years. So there's a lot of things, and people, you know, we are in a society that everything is going fast. So people, everybody are there, I will go there. Oh, this is a superstar, and she did a diet, I will do this, without making any research. And this is dangerous. This, for my part as a marketer, I can see a good and also bad, and it's changing everything. It's a game. Social media is a game changer for a marketing manager. But as a citizen, as a mother, as a teacher of new generation, I am super concerned about how people don't take a look back before engaging in a trend, and especially young people are super influenceable. Can I say that? Yeah. So if they follow a famous person, but this person spray misinformation or something like this, and especially because we have Facebook, we have Instagram, and now we have TikTok too, who is an emerging platform, and super personalized to what you search. The algorithm is really, really personalized, okay? So when you are start to follow an influencer who talk about well-being, and like in French it's coach de vie, like life coach. Okay, but don't have any certificate or, you know, and young person can be young and also older, can be super like attract for those type of influencer who think they will be better if they have it in your life, but it won't.
We've talked about the role of influencers in the larger context, but I wonder how it works on, say, a hyper-local context. How would someone recognize an influencer in a small town like the one that I live in, or a rural area?
As I said in the beginning of the interview, we can have a really small influencer, like 5,000 people. So for sure, in your community or in a small city, they have this kind of person who are involved, and people know people in a small town. So this person, you can identify this person if because you can tag the city or tag friends or make hashtag. So if the person do something in the, for example, let's say an influencer who have 5,000 followers going to a local ice cream and make a story on his Instagram and tag the place and everything. And this and their friends will reshare the story. And this is going on the platform. And a lot of people can see that, especially geolocalized in this area. This kind of person is really relevant for the city and also for the this community. Let's say the town ask a small influencer who live in the city to educate their followers to composting or sensitize them to spring cleaning chore. It can be the person who mobilize people, not a lot of people, but relevant people to do something. And he can also contribute to the notoriety of the city, promote event, fundraising. Like this person can be, if this person take his voice to talk about the city or any concern about it, their follower will be really interesting because he is authentic, credible. Of course, he's living in this area. So yeah, influencer. Can this is another example of good way to use influencer as a marketing tool.
I appreciate in your research how the threshold for somebody, I think you'd use the term nano influencer, threshold was 5,000. But in a community like ours, I mean, are we literally talking about somebody maybe have 100 or a couple hundred followers could be potentially an influencer within a community? Is that possible?
It's possible if the person really focus on talking about a subject who fit the audience, and if he really try to have discussion to exchange with their follower. Probably they will have discussion and other people will say, oh, it's interesting and blah, blah, blah. So he will follow them. Let's say he's doing a direct. It's when you film in life. In live. Live, L-I-V-E. and just interview some people across the street or with the mayor. Yeah, of course, it could be an influencer without having like thousands of followers. But I give you example how a city can use an influencer, but an influencer in a rural area, small country, small city, can became also an influencer without talking about the city, but you have to have a créneau, a niche, talk about a subject, a specific subject, and became an expert in the eyes of his follower.
So it seems to me that there are certain characteristics around an influencer, that they have this engagement rate, they have this ability to have a niche, and also that their ability to communicate ideas, and then those ideas reach out to a broader audience and then are amplified by others to reach even farther, and therefore create trends and cause people to think about or act in a particular way. How do you distinguish social movements from influencers, where, you know, people are saying organizing to protest something, or to stop a sidewalk, or to you know, change council's mind on a particular issue, versus influencers? Is it simply just something social or something's business, or is there other things that distinguish them?
Mm-hmm. It's depending on the thinking of the influencer. as I said before, some influencers are there just to getting followers and just to be famous. They want to be recognized like a superstar. And of course, their mission is to have money, because it could be really lucrative for some influencer. But the majority of influencer, it's just a side work, or just a side. They share our passion or hobbies. So yeah, what is the question again?
No, I was just trying to distinguish between social movements and
influencers. Okay. So social movement, yeah, it's all begin with social media, right? Influencers are popular, build their popularity on social media, not like Kim Kardashian and Tom Brady, but let's say nano, micro, macro influencer. They build their notoriety on social media. Social media is worldwide. This is a new, not that new, but it's really different than back in before 2000. Now we can, if I want, I can talk to people in Australia or people in Thailand. So this is a good thing, but this is also mitigate, because social, and it's the same thing that I said before, there are good social movement, there are bad social movement, but the platform is there. We have to, because just an example, Me Too is a social movement. They use social platform, and this movement make a lot of changes in the society, and this situation, if I can say that, go all around the world. So, but it wasn't a particular influencer. It's just a bunch of person. Yeah, of course, some of this person who said that who tried to just share their bad story was known for from the community, the society, but this social movement have their grow on the platform, and because people share their experience and everything. So for me, it's a good thing. But you see the difference between influencer, real influencer, and social movement. But in both cases, they have good thing and they have bad thing. We can be related all around the world. Like, I think it's a good thing, but we have to take a step back and look at who we are and what we want, and not just follow the flow because it's cool and because you like this person. Because some people follow influencer because it's good for they relate the influencer to their self-concept. And if they follow this influencer or this influencer, it will be good for their self-image, and friends will be like impressed or will change their perception of this person. And in my research, I was trying to develop a scale of engagement, human brand engagement on social media. And it was on three dimensions, like cognitive, affective, and behavioral. And some people are like too tense with their influencer that when they have dilemma in their life, they think, oh, what my influencer will do at my place? Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, that's the reason I told you that we have to ask ourselves, are this influencer really fit my values, what I want to, or is just superficial, or it's going too big, like too much place in my life. Some people told me in my research that they are worried if their influencer don't make a story during a day. And they going to the account to search what they happened to him, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Nelly Levesque, thank you so much for talking to me today.
I really appreciate our conversation, and I hope that people will see influencer in different way, like good and bad.
That was Natalie Levesque, a lecturer and researcher at Laval University. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at ConsiderThis. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.